When it comes to management and budget issues, few people know those issues better than my next guest, Robert Shea.
I don't know about that.
Well, you know, I'm giving credit where credit is due. You know a lot about this stuff. And you're heckling me before I even have a chance to introduce you properly. Robert Shea is a principal with Grant Thornton and formerly an official at the Office of Management and Budget, and now you may heckle away.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
The holidays.
That's all right.
We're free flowing.
Well, we're all in the holiday spirit, I think. Which
yeah.
I got a sense this year earlier than ever before that people were in the holiday spirit, which is fantastic. I don't know what's different this year about compared to other years, but it does seem that way at least. I don't know if it's true or not.
It does seem that way. I don't know the way the holidays are structured. It seems like you know everything got compressed into a few weeks. So it's. I agree with you. It seemed to start earlier, but that's fine with me, too.
Are you traveling for the holidays, my friend?
Heading up to Connecticut.
Fantastic. Well,
yep.
Travel safely and enjoy it, and let's dig into your predictions for 2011. One of them is that programs will be terminated or cut substantially, perhaps more than ever before. It's what we have been thinking was possible at some point in time. It's what a number of commissions and panels and so on have said should happen. We're seeing it now happen in other countries. Great Britain's cutting almost across the board, 25% in some cases, and it looks like you think that's where we're headed this year in the federal government here.
I think so. You've seen already the president try to one-up the new Congress on fiscal austerity, and I suspect the budget that comes out Friday, that agencies actually got a peek at yesterday, will propose major terminations or cuts in a lot of programs, and I think Congress, as they've sort of come into office on the banner of fiscal austerity, will be in a position to accept a lot of those recommendations, and I just think there's a confluence of events that suggests more programs than ever will be terminated or cut significantly.
You know what I find interesting about the situation that Congress will find itself in when it comes back in January was a discussion on CNBC that I saw this morning with Rob Portman, a former associate of yours from OMB. And
my boss.
Yeah, well, okay. He was talking about the fact that although the count will be 52-48, I believe, or 53-47, Democrats to Republicans, because of where a number of the Democratic senators stand on fiscal issues, like Senator Nelson from Nebraska and so on, there will actually be a functional majority for Republicans, and that might wind up with, when you have a Republican House and a functional majority for on fiscal issues in favor of Republicans in the Senate, the potential does exist, as you're saying, for some things to happen, at least on the congressional side, that maybe we're not expecting or ready for right now.
Yeah, and he's talking about a functional majority of people who are you know, real conservative Democrats. I think there are far more than that who are going to be interested in demonstrating fiscal austerity, simply to better position themselves for re-election.
Mm-hmm.
So more Democrats are up for re-election this next cycle than Republicans, and they're the ones who are going to need to demonstrate that they're taking the view seriously that we need to get our fiscal house in order.
But as somebody who spent time on Capitol Hill before you were in the executive branch, what do you think the odds are that this new allegiance to fiscal austerity is really going to stick? I mean, we've heard this talked about before. Are the events that are going on at the electorate level sufficient to drive the behavior on Capitol Hill that is claimed and not always delivered upon?
I was back in Texas over Thanksgiving, and a fella I was having dinner with said to me, do y'all have any idea up there how angry we are? And that just may be a hot-headed Texan, but I just think the pressure is going to continue to build. This movement to throw the bums out may apply to Republicans just as much as it applied to Democrats in the last election, unless we can really show progress in cutting spending. And there's, you know, the folks at OMB. The career folks at OMB, I think, believe there are some fundamental flaws in a lot of programs that have been established over time, and that now's their chance to really reduce spending on what they deem to be ineffective programs. In the past, that might have been invested somewhere else, but I think we're in a position right now where a lot of that is just going to have to go to deficit reduction.
That's an interesting worldview, the idea that there are career staff at OMB that are kind of standing by and waiting for an opportunity to make some of these things go away. That's not a position I would have necessarily thought would be the case.
Well, these guys have studied these programs for a very long time. And they tend to have really good insight into what evidence we have about what's working and what's not. And they're generally of the mind we ought to be using that evidence to make decisions, particularly funding decisions. So I do think they're seeing this as an opportunity.
And speaking
and Jack Lew, you know, Jack Lew was here during the last time this happened.
Yeah.
He led the effort to balance the budget. However brief that period was. And so, you know, I think he's going to be whispering in the president's ear that this is really an opportunity to make some fundamental changes. And we want to take advantage of it.
All right. Speaking right to that issue then, do you have any fear that what Congress is going to advocate for is going to be X number off the top? Or are we going to get to something that you've advocated for and that Jack Lew and his team when he was OMB director before advocated for? And that is looking at these programs on a performance basis and totally getting rid of the ones that don't work and devoting resources to the ones that do. And finding, I guess a balance isn't quite the right word, but not just lopping X percentage off the top for the sake of lopping X percentage.
I fear it'll be more of a lopping of a percentage off the top, because frankly, even though we've been at this for many years, we don't have a lot of concrete evidence about whether or not programs are working. So we don't have a basis on which to make that determination. Now that seems to contradict what I predicted before, that programs will be cut. We do have some information for a lot of programs. It's just not the government's really big, and for probably most of the government, we don't have that kind of evidence. So people will be looking for easier ways to get at this, which is going to mean across-the-board cuts.
Robert Shea of Grant Thornton is my guest for 2011 predictions all week long in the 2 o'clock hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Robert, you've got one here that I think is interesting, and we'll talk about that one next, and one I've got to give you a hard time about. We'll talk about those predictions from Robert Shea when we continue on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. We'll be right back.
Here's Tony Valletta, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for C3I, on the Why is Cybersecurity So Hard panel, sponsored by Unisys.
As you all know, we've been experiencing all different types of cybersecurity issues, as well as penetrations and attacks, ranging from individual things to websites to even penetrations of our power grid. I, for one, that have been working this for many years, am very concerned to make sure that things like our critical infrastructures of the United States do not get attacked and penetrated.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Unisys, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Unisys Identity Solutions provides citizens, employees, and travelers with the means to identify themselves assuredly, conveniently, and effectively in both physical and IT environments. The goal in every identification and credentialing engagement is to provide the highest level of identity assurance in the most convenient and effective manner. Unisys end-to-end solutions incorporate all aspects of identification and credentialing. Learn more about Unisys security offerings. Visit unisys.com.
40 kilometers northwest of Kandahar, Afghanistan, at a remote desert military base, American soldiers are playing video games. There are cold drinks, snacks, comfy chairs, and an internet connection. It's the USO To Go program, and it's just one of the ways the USO supports our troops, lifts their spirits, and serves as a link with the American people. Find out how you can help. Visit us at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
Lori Nelson is the Director of Financial Reporting in the Office of Audit for the Postal Service Inspector General.
OPM sets the funding requirements for the CSRS and the FERS pension plans, and the Postal Act of 2006 mandates the pre-funding for the retirees' health care. So it's really OPM that needs to change, and they've gone on record as saying they won't change unless Congress tells them to.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, all week long. In the 2 o'clock hour, it's my Predictions 2011 series. Today, joined by Robert Shea of Grant Thornton with his predictions, what he expects to see happen in the federal government in 2011. And had you not given me expert inside knowledge a couple of weeks back when President Obama proposed a pay freeze for federal employees, this one would have been a hey, wait a minute moment. But this prediction is that federal employees will get raises in 2011. How's that going to work?
So they probably won't get an across-the-board pay raise,
mm-hmm.
But there'll probably be more promotions, more quality step increases than in the past, simply to get around this restriction on across-the-board pay raises. Agencies also have the ability to offer recruitment or retention bonuses, and then there are just garden variety bonuses. So there'll be additional money to reward federal employees, even though there's a prohibition on across-the-board pay raises.
This is one of those cases where if you know how to work the system, I don't want to say game the system because it doesn't sound
That's
like anybody's well, but it doesn't sound like anybody's going to be doing anything improper. Gaming the system to me is kind of akin to fixing it, where it doesn't sound like that's the issue. It's just knowing what you can do and what all are the options that you have available to you and going ahead and doing it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, federal employees need to be rewarded for the work they do. They need to be retained because what they do is important. And so I agree with you that finding a good valid legal way to do this is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I think that will be the most important thing here is watching the step increases. Is that where you think most of this action will take place?
I think so.
Yeah. What ways will it be easiest for a manager to go to bat for an employee that he's particularly interested in retaining or that he is particularly afraid might be having some wandering eyes?
A promotion. They can tweak the job description that the individual's going to be working on. And they can even compete that position, rewarding it finally to the employee in order to give them higher pay.
Mm-hmm. So it really is going to be a case where the managers need to know what bullets they've got in their holster to be able to take care of the folks that they want to keep.
That's right.
All right.
This is where the professionals who are managing personnel policy can be real assets to managers who need to make pay decisions that motivate employees.
All right, your next prediction I've got to give you a little bit of a hassle about, because you wrote there will be a scandal. Now, this is Washington, D.C., and we're talking about predictions for an entire year, 2011. Of course there's going to be a scandal.
Look.
You're not really going out on a limb there, my friend.
I'm not the smartest guy. I'm just the smartest guy you could get. But what I do think it's important to note is that the change in the House, the subpoena power in the hands of Republicans, means that there's going to be enhanced scrutiny on executive branch operations that will result in publicity for a scandal. Well, we may have in the news things that wouldn't have otherwise been in the news but for the change in the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, when I worked on the Hill for Bill Clinger, chairman of the House Government Reform Committee, he said that when the executive branch is in the hands of one party, that committee, the oversight committees, ought to be in the hands of the other party, because otherwise you have a conflict of interest. So I don't think it's bad for the government to have people who are looking very hard at executive branch operations to ensure there's no hanky-panky going on.
That will be an interesting committee to pay attention to, I think, more so than normal. Congressman Issa, who will take over that committee, has said that he's going to did say something about doing some, like, two hearings a week or something like that that seemed a little bit outlandish. But on the Democratic side, there's a change in leadership there, too, because Chairman Towns will not be staying on as ranking member. And there were three or four members that were interested in taking that job before it finally went to Congressman Cummings from up in the Baltimore area.
It's a great job. I think that committee has unbelievable broad authority to investigate the government's operations with an eye towards identifying concrete steps that can improve it.
All right. Your last prediction is in the glass half full vein of Paul Rouse and your predecessor in this hour of In-Depth with Francis Rose. And we'll talk about that and what we have to look forward to more in 2011 with Robert Shea when In-Depth continues on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be back in a moment.
Look, I'm a salesman, and a good one. So trust me, there is no one harder to sell to than me. So when Sales Genie told me they could help me find new customers and grow my business, I was like, yeah, right. But they offered me a free trial, so I called. And I am totally sold on Sales Genie now.
If you're ready to find a solution that not only helps you find new customers, but also helps you create successful email, telemarketing, and direct mail campaigns to grow your business, call Sales Genie now for your free trial. Just tell us who you're looking for, and we'll help you find targeted sales prospects, new prospects, who are just like your best customers. And right now, you can try Sales Genie for free.
It's true. I should have called sooner.
Prove it to yourself. Call now to try Sales Genie for free. For your free trial, call 1-800-400-2199. That's 1-800-400-2199. 1-800-400-2199.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
Slower growing and dying trees, forest fires, insect infestation, and big changes in where various tree species are dominant are part of a forecast being suggested for southwestern U.S. forests. That's if temperature and aridity rise as predicted by the U.S. Geological Survey and other federal researchers. In a new report, they say southwestern forests may experience all of these changes since they are particularly sensitive to warmer temperatures and increased dryness. They report mountain forests across the southwest are already experiencing forest die-offs and rapid shifts in the types of trees that live there. The researchers warn that such changes in southwest forest vegetation could have significant effects on a wide range of goods and services, including watershed protection and timber supplies.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
Bilbin Company in Gaithersburg says open your hearts to the many children who may not have a Christmas this year. Drop off a gift to one of the designated Toys for Tots drop-off points around town and make the season brighter for all children. This message is from Bilbin Company, your HVAC professionals at 7411 Lindbergh Drive in Gaithersburg, where they feel that it's a privilege to serve the community, and it's a bigger privilege to serve you. For information, dial 301-948-9040. The HVAC professionals at Bilbin Company are wishing everyone a happy holiday season.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Predictions 2011 from a series of experts in the world of the federal government this week, and one of them is Robert Shea of Grant Thornton, a former official at OMB, and I must say, there are a lot of challenges the government's facing. There are a lot of challenges the country is facing. There are a lot of difficult issues that we'll be struggling with. And so I really like your prediction, the last one on your list here, which is the Republic will survive, nay, flourish. You're very optimistic despite all of the challenges we're up against, aren't you?
I'd like to hear some more optimism from our leaders. I think the recession, will be a memory after this 2011 concludes. That doesn't mean all of our problems will go away. We'll still have fiscal challenges for many years to come. But people are going to be getting back to work. Companies are going to be investing more in their infrastructure and in their people. And I think you'll see that any malaise we're currently suffering will progressively diminish. And I think that's a great thing. But I do think it'll take our leaders expressing that sentiment clearly. I'm sure you'll hear it from President Obama, probably one of our most eloquent leaders in a very long time, since Reagan perhaps, express it in his State of the Union speech in January. Hopefully that lacks a lot of the partisanship and includes more of the optimistic promotional talk that I think we sorely need.
It does seem that there are some cynics who say, "Well, we don't want people leading us who are a bunch of cheerleaders." And yet, I remember having a conversation with one of my colleagues probably 2 years ago when we first started to learn about some of the things that were happening in the economy. And my fear at that time was that if we spent all of our time thinking and talking about how bad things could get or were starting to get, that it would take a lot longer for people to dig out, because media wise we find ourselves today in such an echo chamber where somebody says one thing and it's automatically assumed to be the case by the next person down the line. It's like that game that we played in school where somebody says one thing to somebody at the beginning of the line, and by the time it gets to the end of the line it's different and nobody really knows what's really going on.
Yeah. I think I really do think people can play a more active role in advocating what's good and how people's optimism can be translated into change that results in an improved situation. The government, government employees play a strong role in this in virtually every capacity in which they're working today, and they could get demoralized by the constant talk about their poor performance, their high pay or benefits. I hope they don't lose sight of the contributions they're making to making America even better than it is today.
You know, it's interesting that you raise that, because that's one of the things that comes up when we talk about at this radio station the pay issue, in particular the pay and benefits issue, that doesn't get raised anywhere else, and that is that somebody who does a job in government and somebody who does that same job in the private sector, maybe the mechanics of the job duties are the same, but the stakes are so much different. What is at stake through the work that's being done by the person who works for the federal government is completely different, and I think at a higher level, if you want to get a little spiritual about it, it's at a higher level than what's being done in the private sector in many cases.
I want to assiduously avoid a discussion of pay, because the point I'm making is the work that it's similar, somewhat related to the point you're making, which is that the work federal employees do every day is connected to a mission that you don't get in any other profession.
Mm-hmm.
Your work impacts the lives of average Americans in ways they can't fathom. And that should be a proud fact, and they should remain enthusiastic about what they're doing so that America's optimism can return, and as I mentioned in my prediction, the Republic continues to flourish.
Robert Shea, principal of Grant Thornton, every time I've had you on the air in 2010 and years before, it's been a pleasure, and I'll look forward to doing it more in 2011 and beyond.
I'm grateful somebody's interested. Thank you, Francis. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.